a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and we welcome you back to the program. We apologize that it took so long for us to get on here today. Again, we had some unexpected events that came up. And it kind of delayed us about 3 or 4 hours. But nevertheless, we are blessed to be on here today. And we hope that you could join us today. And if you're new to the broadcast, and this is your first time joining us on a live broadcast or by the rebroadcast of this, if you're able to comment in the comment section below on whatever platform you may be watching or listening from, let us know in the comment section below that you are new or this is your first time. And let us know where you guys are joining us from today. I wanted to go over some headlines because there's been a lot of stuff going on over the past week that I wanted to talk about for talking points. That's going to be more information geared, and we're going to do that, but we're going to kick that out until tomorrow. We're going to do that tomorrow, and we're going to talk about several events. So you don't want to miss that. We're going to do that tomorrow. But today, in my devotional time, I was spending some time in my devotional time with the Lord. And I was in the book of Acts. I love going to the book of Acts because that's the blueprints of the New Testament church. And I've always said that if you want to know how the early church operated and how I believe the New Testament church should be operating, present tense, is you got to go back and read the blueprint, read the foundation of the New Testament church. When I was reading Acts, and let me tell you where we're going to be at today so you'll know. I'm not going to put this up on the screen per se here live, but I will tell you where we're at. We're going to be hanging out in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, and Acts chapter 14. And I want to deal with the particular subject called, what is the purpose of gathering together as believers? Now, in today's vernacular, we would identify this as going to church, going to a brick and mortar assembly, a church, a cathedral, a building. Have you ever asked yourself, stop for a second and think about how much stuff we do because we've been westernized or programmed by whether it be denominationally driven, traditionally driven. Now, when I say tradition, it could be the church tradition, it could be your family tradition, whatever the case may be. But have you ever stopped for a moment and asked yourself, why do I do certain things, or why do we do certain things the way we do, and why is it, who was the one who was the one who made the measuring rod of how we do things? That's an interesting question. I ask myself that many times. So today I want to ask again, what is the purpose of gathering together as believers? And have we veered off course? That's what I'm going to talk about today. So let's talk about our modern for a moment before we go. We're going to go back in time. And I want to take you to the book of Acts, to the foundation, the blueprint. And I'm going to show you one of the main purposes of them when they gathered together and why they did it. But before we do that, I want to speak present tense. Now, when I say this, I'm not saying every church is like this. But if you were to ask me, or if I was to ask you, what does the modern charismatic Pentecostal Protestant church look like in 2022. I would venture to say that the majority would give me a description of a church that looks something like this. It's got a state-of-the-art sound system. It has fog lights. It has stage lights and presentation. And what I mean by presentation, it's got some kind of a backdrop, some kind of a display that can interchange and be and quickly moved and interchange based on circumstances, seasons, events, whatever the case would be. You would probably say that depending on who the leadership is, you're going to see a common dress code across the board. Now, again, and I understand if you say, well, my church is nothing like that. Again, you are in the minority. I'm telling you, the majority is exactly what I'm saying today. So again, the youth pastors are probably, you're going to see the skinny jeans. A lot of them have they have the sleeve tattoos. And again, I'm not here to harp on tattoos or skinny jeans or facial hair or wearing a hat or any of that stuff. So don't miss what I'm saying. I've got something to say if you'll just listen to me and not get offended for a moment. What I'm saying is, when you go back, and I'm going to show you, when we go back to the early church blueprint, the main focal point is a lot different than what it is today. Today, it seems as if it's more about stage presentation. It's more about the face in which we give it. And again, I know some of you is going to find this hard to believe, but there is churches out there that when they are looking for individuals to fill positions in the church, they have a criteria and they want to meet that criteria. And when I'm saying criteria, I'm talking about looks, I'm talking about characteristics, I'm talking about charisma, I'm talking about fashion, and they want it to fit the quote mission statement or vision of their church. For example, if they're a church that's geared around looking and focusing on just young people alone, they're going to look to accommodate that presentation to attract them. Okay? Are y'all following what I'm saying here? Now, and again, am I against fog lights? No, not really. Am I against lights? No. Am I against stage presentation? Well, I mean, not long as it's not demonic. No, I'm not against that. I'm not against the dim lights. I'm not against a nice carpet. I'm not against skinny jeans or beards or tattoos. I'm not saying that. Because listen, if what comes out of their mouth and what is taught and preached through doctrine lines up with the early church and its blueprints, and we are seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, the dead raised, the sick healed, the saved lost, them being baptized, come on somebody, transformations, people being delivered out of addictions, people being delivered out of strongholds, I'm okay with that. But if the entire focal point is on simply attracting people to get people into pews, but you have no substance, then you're merely a superficial church and not a supernatural church. That's where I have a problem. So when I was thinking and pondering on this and meditating on this, I went back. Now, here we go. Ready? Let's go into the book of Acts chapter 4. Now, we know according to Acts chapter 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all those that were in the upper room. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. There was supernatural manifestations. Peter stood up. He gave an explanation of what they had seen and heard and experienced. There was men that were convicted, and he led them to the Lord. He said, repent and turn from this perverse and wicked generation. And the Bible says that there was thousands that were added to the church in one day. Then we know we get over to the book of Acts chapter 3, and this move of God is continuing. And we see, once again, there is a message of repentance. Are you hearing me? That is preached. And the Bible says that thousands, again, were saved, delivered, set free, baptized, coming into the kingdom. Then we get to Acts chapter 4. Now, here's what it says. Watch this. So let's recap. There's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People's lives are being changed, transformed, saved, delivered, set free, water baptized. They're being added into the kingdom daily. The church is growing. There are signs, wonders, and miracles. Then you get to Acts chapter 4. And it says, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Notice that the first opposition against the church and against a move of God came from the religious sect. It came from the religious leadership. So it says that the priest and the captain of the temple, come on, the pastor of the church, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that these men taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Do you know there is churches out there? We've in 2022 that now won't even say the name of Jesus because it could be offensive to visitors. It could be offensive to others of another faith that might be in the congregation. And the reason why it was offensive to the Sadducees is because the Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection. So of course this is going to be offensive to them. Just like anyone who's a sensationist that doesn't believe that the Spirit of God is still operating through the church today is going to be offended if they step into an assembly and someone is healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Or if there is someone who gives a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy, or a demon is cast out, they will be the first to get offended because they've been taught and indoctrinated that the Spirit of God does no longer operate through the church today. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the move of God was offensive to those that were steeped in tradition and pride. Oh, come on, somebody. But watch this. But that's not even what I want to preach about today, but we're just getting there. So they laid hands on them, and that wasn't a blessing, by the way, and they put them in custody. They put them in jail. Why were they put in jail? Because they were preaching the name of Jesus, and there was signs, wonders, and miracles. And it was flipping their traditions on its head. It didn't look like what it's always looked like. It didn't talk like what it's always sounded like. It didn't act like the way that they perceived it to act like. It wasn't the wineskin that they were accustomed to. Think about this. I had this conversation with someone the other day. Listen, it's going to end the way it began, right? As it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. So again, the way it began is the way it's going to end, and the way it's going to end is the way it began. In the beginning, Yeshua was doing the will of the Father and fulfilling his earthly ministry with signs, wonders, and miracles in the presence of religious people. and they didn't even recognize him as the Messiah. Guys, these were quote unquote scholars who knew the law, who knew the Torah, and who knew the prophets. And when the one whom the prophets foretold about was standing right in the midst of them, they were so blinded by their traditions and their pride and their platforms that they didn't even recognize the Messiah was in the midst of them. So I'm going to tell you, if it happened then, it's going to happen again. So in the that tells me that it, as we get closer to the last days, there's going to be moves of God in churches. And if you're not careful, you could have a move of God in your church. And if you're steeped in religion and tradition and you're full of pride, you could miss the move of God. Now, I'm not telling you, don't you twist my words. I'm not saying that you should embrace and receive anything that comes through the doors. As long as it lines up with this word of God, as long as it lines up with the word, then it's of God. Amen. Now watch this. So they were put in custody. However, many of those who heard the word believed. Come on. Yes, they were being persecuted. Yes, they were being put in jail. But many of those who heard the word believed, and a number of the men came to be about 5,000. Listen, I'll spend a night in jail for 5,000 souls any day of the week. What about you? Are you going to step out of your comfort zone? Listen, we won't even go to church when it's too hot, it's too cold, it's raining, it's sleeting, it's snowing. There might be COVID there. There might be the monkeypox there. We'll find every excuse not to go to church than we will to make every excuse, come on, to not stay home. And it came to pass, I'm still in Acts chapter 4, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, the elders, the scribes, come on, they're having a leadership meeting, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest. I'm talking about today's vernacular would be that everybody of that denomination, come on, the overseers, the president of the denomination, the CEO of the denomination, the bishops of the denomination, they're all together. They all gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, who's them? The disciples. They asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man. By the way, that's the whole reason why they were put in prison, is because a man who had been crippled for years and years and years, and none of those religious people had the power to set him free and to heal him, because Peter, James, and John was there. And through the name of Jesus, saw this man walk again. It was offensive to them. Can you believe that? Yes, I can. Listen what he says. If today you're going to judge us for a good deed that we've done to this helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to every one of you, to all the people of Israel, and that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Now you would think one of them guys would say, hey guys, we know this guy. He's here every Sunday. He's always outside of the church. He's crippled. Nobody's ever had the power to lay hands on him and see him healed. We just throw money at him. Come on, silver and gold, have I none but what I give you? Come on, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Come on, you stop throwing money at stuff. We don't need your money. Come on, we need you. Come on, sold out for God. My kids don't need my money. They need to see a father full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost so that when sickness comes knocking at the door, I can lay hands and see them recover. So that when, come on, a disaster's coming, I can teach them to get in the shadow of the Almighty. And 1,000 may fall at their side and 10,000 at thy right hand, and it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. And when they ask, how did this happen? What happened? And I could teach them. It's not by my strength, not by my wisdom, not by my intellect, nor by my knowledge or information, but it's the name of Jesus that is a name. Come on. He is the name that is above every name. He is the high tower in which we run into and we are safe. I will look unto the hills in which my help comes from. I'm tired of churches throwing money at everything, thinking that if we can build it bigger, if we can make it wider, if we can be better, come on, if it's so high they can't get over it and so low they can't get under it and so wide they can't get over it, then surely they'll want to come to our church. But come on, I believe it was Finney or Spurgeon that said, if you continue to entertain people to get them into the house of God, you will have to continue entertaining them to keep them in the house of God. Listen, I'm not looking to raise up circus clowns. I'm looking to raise up disciples filled with the Holy Ghost. One of these great men of God said, I'd rather have 10 men full of the Holy Ghost that could turn the world upside down than a church full of 10,000 dead men, full of sepulchers, full of dead man's bones that can't even, come on, cast a devil out of a wet sock. Oh, I'm going to preach harder to the back row today. Listen, I love the boldness of Peter. He said, all right, if we're going to stand on trial, let it be known that this was the reason why we're here. It wasn't because of us or anything we did, but the reason why this man is standing whole today is because Jesus Christ, whom you sought to have crucified. By him, this man stands here before you, ho. Listen, he says, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men in which we must be saved. Could you, heaven forbid, if a politician, a senator, a congressman, a president, whatever, was to stand up in the White House or in the Capitol or somewhere and got on television and said those words, could you imagine? Good grief, the uproar that would happen, the backlash that would happen. Come on, I'm telling you, demons would tremble. I'm telling you, people would be foaming at the mouth and gnashing their teeth if one of these men stood up and says, let it be known across this nation that there is salvation and no other name given under heaven unto which men must be saved but the name of Jesus. Come on, we got to get this boldness back. And he said, well, I came on here because you were going to talk about the purpose of gathering together. And if we veered off course, oh, I know. I'm just taking you on an interstate, right? Listen, before we get you to the interstate, we've got some, we're on the back road. I live in the state of Georgia. When I lived in Indiana, it was all interstate travel. When I moved out here to Georgia, I'm telling you, everywhere I go, I have to ride back roads. I'm like, goodness gracious, can I just get on the interstate? No, I have to go through back roads and I have to stop at this red light and I have to stop at this red light and I have to stop at this intersection and I have to stand at this crossroads and I have to go to this one. So listen to me. We're going to get you to the highway and the interstate. But before I get you there, I got a couple stops. I want to take you on the back roads to get you to the interstate. And there's a purpose for that. Now, when they saw the boldness, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. Listen, Come on. I can't wait for the day that some of you don't have to explain to everybody that you're a Christian. You don't have to go to work and explain to them that you're a born again Christian. You don't have to explain to your family that you're a Christian. That you don't have to open your mouth and utter the words, I'm a Christian, in case you didn't know. Come on, I long for the day that we have such boldness about us that nobody even questions whether or not we're born again. They don't question whether or not we've been with Jesus. They don't question whether we've had an encounter with Jesus. They look at Peter and they say, there is no way that this cat has not been with Jesus. I mean, this guy was denying Jesus around the fire. He ran from God. He cut off a man's ear and he has a temper and he was cussing around a fire. Come on, there's no way this man has not. Now he just speaks out every moment he can. He speaks his mind. He's not a coward anymore. He's not backing down. This guy is so full of the Spirit of God that when he's walking by people, his mere shadow goes over them and they're getting healed of afflictions. Come on, somebody. I believe not then, today. Jesus said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and quickens our mortal bodies. Come on, since I'm on the back road, just buckle in and take a ride with me, honey. Let me just take you on a journey where I'm at right now, present tense. I'm tired of doctors giving me diagnosis and telling me there's no quote unquote cure for this. Unfortunately, this is something you're going to have to live with. Well, the devil is a liar. Because listen to me. My Bible says that there was a woman with an issue of blood for 18 years. I think it was 18 years. Nevertheless, it was a long time. I get her and the daughter of Abraham mixed up, them two interchangeably. There was a woman with an issue of blood that she was bleeding out for years. And the Bible says that she spent all that she had on doctors and specialists and physicians and herbal stores. Come on. And essential oils. Come on. I'm preaching at your address right now. Everything that can band-aid it and suppress it and manage it. But she wasn't getting any better. And finally, she got the revelation. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I shall be made whole. So listen to me. The devil wants to sit back and laugh at Brother Ricky because, well, that's something you're just going to have to live with. Well, the devil is a liar because I've come and I'm bringing out the big guns, honey. I've already made up my mind. It's going to be daily communion. It's going to be daily getting in the presence of God. And I'm standing on the word of God that by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I was healed. Yeah, but the doctor, I don't care. They are practicing physicians and I serve the great physician. Come on. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread, and I'm a son of the Most High. I wish somebody get this revelation today. Listen, stop taking what the devil is shelling out and say enough is enough. And we're doing it in our churches. Y'all thought I was going off course and I'm not still on the message, but I'm still on the message. Listen, it's a shame when a woman for 18 years was going to a church service where there was religious people. There was the priest, there was the bishop, there was the elders. There was the leadership there. And for 18 years, she was coming hunched over and they said, well, she's probably got scoliosis. Well, she's probably got arthritis. Well, she's probably got muscular dystrophy. Well, she's probably got that disc up there, that L1 or L2 or whatever that is. It's probably been out of place for 18 years. They just swept it under the rug, that nobody had no power to set it free. Nobody had no discernment to recognize that it wasn't arthritis. It wasn't, scoliosis. It was a spirit on her called a spirit of infirmity. And we've come to a time, friends, when we are able to have church and go through the motions without the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're okay with it. Well, I'm not okay with it. I'm telling you, this past weekend, I was with some friends of mine, and we sat around and we wept. And we wept for our children. And we talked about it, and we said, if we've got to pay the price, I've got to have a move of God. I'm tired of reading about it. I'm tired of hearing about the times of old. I'm tired of sitting around and talking about how things used to be. I'm telling you, God said, greater works shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. Come on, something's got to turn around. And one of the things is we have got to get to a place. Come on, I'm preaching to myself today. I'm not mad at nobody. Listen to me. I'm not mad at anyone. If anything, I'm mad at our apathy and our complacency and our lukewarmness. It's not just us, guys. It's our children, our grandchildren that's going to pay the price. They perceived these men had to have been with Jesus. And see, listen to this, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I mean, my goodness, the man was made whole and he was healed, and their religious ceremonies and their services and week after week after week wasn't getting it done. But now there's a new power in the house. There's a new authority in the house. Look at this. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, quote, listen to this. What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. Come on. To all that would, could you imagine? Listen, I'm telling you right now, if you're in a church that's casting out devils, healing the sick, and raising the dead, you don't have to announce it. The whole city will already know that you exist. Leonard Ravenhill once said that when there's a house on fire in a neighborhood, you don't have to announce it because everyone knows it's already burning. And if there's a church on fire, you don't have to announce it because they'll come to where the flame's burning. Whew. Listen to this. Watch this. We cannot deny it. So notice what they said. God's moving. We can't deny it. We can't stop it. So listen what they said. Ready? But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Is that not what's happening right now? You cannot speak what God's word says on social media, or we will silence you. You cannot say what God says in abomination, or we will censor you. You can talk about every other God, but you can't talk about the name of Jesus, or we're going to have problems. We're going to have to set you down, and we're going to have to set you straight. Nothing new under the sun, my friend. Isn't it interesting that it's not the other religions that are being threatened? Have you ever wondered that? Why is it the name of Jesus and those who follow Jesus and his word? Because those other religions possess no power. They can't heal the sick. They can't raise the dead. They can't bring salvation. Thus, they're not a threat to the kingdom of hell. Listen to this. So then they called the disciples back in. They commanded them, don't you speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. You can say God, you can say Yahweh, you can say Elohim, you can say Allah, you can say Buddha, you can say Confucius, you can say Muhammad, you can say all these other names, but don't you dare say the name of Jesus, or there's going to be trouble and problems for you. But Peter and John answered. Oh, I love it. And they said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than it is to God, you make you be the judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard. Listen, you want to know why we have an entire generation of young people that are not bold for Jesus and that are denying Jesus, that don't want to have anything to do with our church? Ready? It's because they have not seen the works of the Holy Spirit. They've not seen the dead raised. They've not seen devils being cast out. They've not seen miracles and healings and supernatural. And you know who I blame? I don't blame the world for that. I blame the church for that. Because we've allowed doctrines of demons and devils to come in. We've allowed doctrines that preach a form of godliness, but deny the very power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, not in my house. You try to bring that junk in my house, my kids will rebuke you because they've seen it. They've experienced it. They know that there's a God that heals. They know that there's a God that, come on, demonstrates himself and shows himself out through signs, wonders, and miracles. Watch this. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Notice, again, I've always said this. You've heard me say this. The common people celebrated the move of God, but it was the religious people that rejected the move of God. Isn't that something? And it's always been like that. Now watch this. For the man was over 40 years of age on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Okay? Now we're getting to the part where I wanted to talk about. Now we're going to get on the interstate. We had to go some back roads and some stops, and we had to talk about some stuff. Now we're going to get to the main intersection of this thing. Ready? Now, let's go to verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. Come on, y'all. Are y'all getting something out of this today? Listen to this. Acts chapter 4, 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions. So they, watch this. They were released from their threats, persecutions, all this stuff. Then they went to the other disciples, their companions, and they reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, oh, come on, what does it say in your Bible? Go to Acts 4, 24. Does it say when they came back, they told the other disciples, hey, guys, our denomination is threatening us and saying that if we don't stop preaching like we're preaching, and if these miracles don't stop like they've been happening, then they are going to severely threaten us. They're going to do bad things to us. We're not going to be a part of the fellowship anymore. They're going to kick us out. They're going to remove us. They're going to put us in prison. They're going to fine us. They're going to censor us. They're going to shut us down. So we listen. So what did they do? Did they say, we're just going to have to compromise? We can still preach, but we just can't. They just said, listen, I'm going to tell you, tell me I'm wrong. This is what churches are doing today. Compromise. Ready? I can see it now. All right, guys, we've got to have this emergency meeting. Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Andrew, Thomas, all of them. Everybody get together. They're threatening us. They're saying all this stuff. But the one thing we got out of this, remember, they said the only thing they told us is we got to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. They didn't tell us we couldn't preach. They just said, don't use the name of Jesus. So watch this. I'm telling you, this is what it would have been today. They would have said, we'll just say God. Give your heart to God, not Jesus, God. We'll even use a different name. Well, here's what we'll do, guys. We'll just have a church meeting on Sunday with all of our home folks. And we will go through the congregation and we'll take up a poll. We'll make up a nice flyer and a poll and we'll pass it around the congregation. And on the poll, we'll ask them, what other alternative name
would you feel comfortable using other than the name of Jesus? And we'll give them choices. Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, and the list goes on. But Jesus is not on there. That way, we can still, come on, we can still have our church, we can still have meetings, and we can still get warm heinies into the pews and still take up those collection offerings and keep the ministry going. I'm telling you, that's what would happen today. But no, that's not what they said at all. Listen how the early church responded. Ready? When they reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them, when they heard this, they raised their voice to God. What did they say? It says, with one accord, and they said, quote, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you've anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand on your purpose determined before to be done. Now listen to verse 29. So they're still praying, right? And one accord. Listen what their prayer is. Quote, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They didn't say, oh God, make us be invisible in their sight. Lord, give us a place that we can hide out. God, put us in a shelter somewhere. God, help us to compromise. Show us what we need to say instead of what's offensive to them. No, they didn't back down. They didn't compromise. They said, God, you see the threats. And now we're asking you to give us even a greater boldness to continue speaking your word. Now listen, how? Verse 30, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Listen to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, this is the second time they've been filled. They were filled in Acts 2, but now they're filled in Acts 4. What are you saying? I'm telling you, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is not a one-time event. You can get filled and refilled and refilled and refilled. Come on, honey. How many knows? Listen, you can fill up your car today, but by the end of the week, it's on empty. You're going to have to go to the gas station and fill it up again. Y'all get filled on Sunday, but by the time you get to Saturday, you've been to work and around some weird people, some angry people, some crazy people in traffic, some dysfunction in your family. Come on, all kinds of devils and demons and crazy stuff. And by the time you get to Saturday, what you filled up with last Sunday, it's not in the tank anymore. It's dry and you need a fresh filling. But here's something I got out of this. It's all about what they prayed, guys. Could it be possible that we've been showing up to church services and we've been entertaining people and we're going there for entertainment purposes or getting a little sermonette? But what are we doing with it? What are we doing with the word that's equipping us? Oh God, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? So you can sit on the pew? So you can come next Sunday and sit in the congregation, not even listen to half of what's being preached because you're sitting there scrolling on TikTok or watching a game on your phone or chatting or talking or not even paying attention? No, listen, these early church apostles and disciples of Christ listen, their purpose of coming together and gathering together was to be equipped to carry out the Great Commission. Oh, I know this is ruffling some feathers today, But watch this. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 14 just a second. So notice in the context of what they prayed and what they were asking for, and God met them by filling them with more power to accomplish their task. Well, I wish I could heal somebody. Well, listen, the gift of healings is dispersed according to Acts chapter, or I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit gives gifts according to the will of God. So in other words, I believe, honestly, if he can entrust you with a gift, he's going to give it to you. Now, I don't have time to go into that, but even the Bible, you can go to the parable of the talents. And to he who had many talents and were doing things with them, God continued to give them to him. But those who had little talents and buried them and didn't invest in them, even what he had was taken away from. Now, look at this. Now, I want to... We could go on in Acts 4, but I want to go over to Acts, and we may skip over Acts 5. Because we may just go, let's go to Acts 5. Let's go down here to, let's go to Acts 14, because I don't want to take another sidetrack here, because if I do, it's going to take a whole lot longer, but we need to get over here. Let's go to Acts 14. Now, it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Listen, but the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. Now listen to this, verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Can you imagine? So Paul's speaking, he looks out in the crowd and he sees a man that has faith to be healed. Come on, faith has action. I said faith has action. I could preach an hour on that, but we're not going to go into that. Watch this. So he says with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laconian language, the quote, gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in the front of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But watch this. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they rent their clothes and they told the people, we are mortal men, do not worship us. But then they turned them to Jesus, right? All right, so now, watch this. Here we go. Then we get over here to verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra. This is Acts 14, 21. And Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, quote, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Verse 27. Now, when they had come and gathered the church together, I said, when they had church, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Watch this. So when you start reading the common thread of the New Testament in the book of Acts, the New Testament church, you'll discover the purpose of them gathering together as a ecclesia or as a church is to equip one another and to testify of what God had been doing in their lives so they can strengthen other brothers and sisters in the faith to continue even through hardships, trials, and persecutions. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all do, some of y'all don't, but I'm telling you, we used to have in the church what was called testimonial services. And this was, I remember being a baby Christian, and I loved testimonial services. I know grandma used to get up there and she spent 30 minutes giving her testimony, but that's okay. Come on, you'd be excited too if God healed your body. You'd be excited too if God brought a breakthrough in your finances, if God got you out of debt, if God saved your husband. Come on, you would want to talk too, and you'd want to testify. But listen, but we've come to the modern church. We don't have time for that. Because we got to entertain the sheep. You know what? That's a wrong thing to say. Lord, I apologize for that. We don't need to entertain the sheep. We're entertaining the goats and the tares and the wolves. Oh, y'all got to go back and listen to my last message. But they're being exposed. So we don't have time for the testimonial services. But I'm telling you, let me tell you why we need to get those back. First of all, the Bible says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Listen, I don't know about you, but I know there is times when I go through a trial, when I go through a tribulation, when I go through a circumstance, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be mental, whatever it be marital, whatever the case may be. When I go through those things and I get around, come on, a Holy Ghost grandmother, a Holy Ghost grandfather, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, who's been through what I am going through, has been through hell and high water and come out on the other end, come on, and not even smelling like the smoke of the furnace. And testify of how they were in the fiery furnace and the man likened unto the Son of God as the fourth man showed up. But come on, somebody. They're like Daniel. They say, brother, I was in the lion's den. I didn't see any way out of it. The doctor gave me a grim report. The banker said it was over. The marriage counselor said I might as well just call it quits. But I was in the lion's den and they had me surrounded. But I didn't know what to do. So I got on my face before God, I begin to fast, I begin to cry out to God, and I'm telling you, and I'm, come on, weeping, endure for the night, but by the time the morning came, joy came, and God delivered me out of the lion's den. I'm trying to tell you, listen, the next time somebody tries to shut up somebody from giving a testimonial service, you need to say, hey, let them speak. Because there might be somebody in your church, somebody in your home group, somebody in your cell group, somebody in your gathering that needs to hear what God has done through them, because it's going to be enough faith that you need to hear that gets you through that. Come on, somebody. Because if, listen, I'm telling you, the devil will try to convince you that you are not going to make it through this. And he'll try to get you in depression. He'll try to get you with no hope. He'll try to get you in despair. But then, come on, when you start hearing that brother or sister testify, it's like something, a fire on something on the inside of you starts, come on, leaping. Come on the inside of you, and you'll say, yes, God, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And you begin to get into the word, and you have a point of reference to it. You have the word of God that backs you up. You have the testimony of the saints that backs you up, and you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that has the power, come on, that raised Christ from the dead dwelling on the inside of you. No wonder the Bible says in Romans 8, when you know not what you ought to pray, the Spirit helps us in our infirmities. The word infirmities in the Greek is weaknesses. You say, well, brother, I don't know how to pray. That's good. Let the Spirit pray. Let Him cry out. Let Him groan through you, because He knows the mind and the will of the Father, and He will speak what the will of the Spirit of God is for your life. So here's what I'm trying to tell you today. What is the purpose of gathering together? It's in the blueprint, guys. It's here. We're asking, listen, I don't want to go to a conference and get filled with something if I have no intent on pouring it out. Lord, give me boldness. Why? You won't even talk to anybody at Walmart. You won't even talk to your family about Jesus. You're an undercover Christian at your work. Nobody even knows you're a Christian. The only reason they found out you're a Christian is because they went out to your park. They went out to the parking lot one day when you're leaving from work, and they saw you get in your car with all your Christian bumper stickers on it, and they assumed that you were a Christian then, but they didn't know it otherwise. Come on, listen, we're all in this, brothers and sisters. So you know what we're going to do? Here's how we're going to end this. We're going to go to Acts chapter 4. And we're going to pray the word of God. I'm going to pray what they pray when there was threats against them. Now, what I mean by threats, I'm talking about when they were threatened to be silenced by the powers that be. When threats were coming from the enemy, threatening their health, threatening their marriage, threatening their finances, threatening their children, threatening your spouse, threatening your ministry, threatening your business, threats. So here's how we're going to handle it. So right now, I want you to, if you can, if you're able to, lift up your hands. If you're not, just agree with me in prayer. This is what we're going to pray. We're going to pray exactly like they pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you grant your servants this day boldness. Lord, boldness to proclaim the name that is above every name. Boldness to preach the name of Jesus. Boldness not to cower down, not to back down, not to shut up, not to sit down, and not to go away. But boldness to make our face like flint and proclaim from the rooftops that there is no other name given under heaven unto men that we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Lord, grant us boldness and power and grace today to do what you've called us to do, to lay hands on the sick that they would recover, to cast out devils, to heal, come on, to raise the dead, to make disciples, to have them baptized, to see them filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we ask today that you would empower us right now, God, to do that very thing. And Father, we repent for making church services a circus and making it for entertainment purposes and not for the purpose of being equipped to go out the door and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and do what you've called us to do in this hour. Lord, forgive us for what we've turned this thing into. Lord, our children need us on the right path if we veered off. Our spouses need us on the right path if we veered off. Our family's counting on us. Even our church is counting on us. Our community is counting on us. Our co-workers are counting on us. There is souls in the balance that are counting on us. Lord, I know we're going to lose some friends. I know we're going to lose some acquaintances. I know we're going to lose some reputation. They're going to look at us weird. They're going to laugh at us. They're going to mock us. They're going to distance themselves from us. But we know, Father, that you said that you've come to bring a sword, a rightfully dividing sword to separate in this hour. God, you are looking for true disciples and true men and women of God. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord runneth to and fro over the entire earth, looking for someone that he can show himself strong through, that has not turned their hearts to an idol. God, let it be said of us that we've not turned to idols. We've not turned to religion. We've not turned to programs. We've not turned to the normality of Christianity and what has become. But God, let us be bold. Let us proclaim what you've called us to proclaim and not cower down, not back down in this hour. In Jesus' name, God, empower us, equip us, and fill us with what we need to be filled up with to do what you've called us to do in this hour. And Lord, I just thank you in advance that even now today, God, I thank you for healing in my body. Come on, I receive it today. I thank you for healing in your body. I thank you for deliverance for you today. I thank you that you're setting people free today from bondages and addictions and cycles of sin. I thank you today that you're healing and restoring marriages today. You're bringing back prodigal sons and daughters today. I thank you that you're setting the captives free today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're saving sinners today. I thank you that you're redeeming today, God, in Jesus' name, God. I thank you today, Father, for today is the day of salvation. And we give you praise, we give you glory, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Come on, I hope you guys have enjoyed this today as much as I have. Again, we want to encourage you guys, if you have not yet downloaded our free app, you can do that today. Go to the Apple Store or the Android Store. Right there on the screen, you can see that. You can download our free app today. Get into your hands, push yes to push notifications. Get it into your hands, and you're going to get every podcast just like this. It's going to be right there at your convenience in your hand, and you're going to get every headline, every breaking news, every headline. All that is going to be right there at your fingertips, and it's simple, and it's simply by just downloading the free app. Again, it's available on Apple, and it's available on Android for your convenience. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity to if this ministry is a continual blessing to you, and it's a source of information, revelation, equipping, encouragement, week to week, week after week, we want to give you the opportunity to support our ministry with a gift of any amount, whatever the Holy Spirit puts upon your heart. You can partner with us, or you can give a one-time gift, whatever the case may be. That's between you and God. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically. The easiest way is through the app right there at the bottom, or you can give, go to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and you can do that there. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, that is our physical mailing address. And again, if you do give by check or money order, don't forget to, if you can, provide us an email address so that we can personally email you and thank you for your generous gift and contribution to the ministry. So guys, again, thank you for coming on here on this Thursday evening. I know it's later than we normally do, but we thank you, appreciate you guys coming on at this time. We're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be back on tomorrow, Lord willing, and we're going to give you, we're going to recap some headlines over the past week and talk about some crazy stuff that's coming straight out of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, may his countenance shine upon you. God bless you guys. I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.